Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. His name is Beatty Carmichael, and he is a misdiagnosis breakthrough expert who specializes in exposing the hidden spiritual roots behind conditions like anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, PTSD, addiction, and chronic pain. After 25 years in business, he uncovered a disruptive truth. Many issues we label as mental illness or chronic conditions aren't medical at all. They're spiritual torments misdiagnosed as disease. I read his book, The Prayer of Freedom, and I swear everybody needs a copy of this if they have any pain or any diagnosis that they want to perhaps get rid of. So welcome, Beatty, and this is going to be a fantastic conversation.
Well, I'm really looking forward to Hillary, and this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay. So let's start with reading this book and or going to his website, which is theprayeroffreedombook.com. You will hear testimonials of Beatty. Like one guy couldn't see, now he could see. You know, people prayed for their son. They were free, all sorts of things. Tell me, just tell the audience one good example so they can hear it from your mouth instead of mine.
First one that comes to mind is a lady named Ashlyn. She has been a drug addict for years. She was going through horrible trauma. At 6 and 7 years old, she was raped by her uncle and her dad. She went into anxiety, depression, panic attacks, bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder. When I met her, she's in her mid to late 20s. She has a 1 and 3 year old daughter who are heavy asthma victims, probably best word. They're on their inhalers. She's on 400 milligrams a day of Seroquel. She's on Bisperon. She's on Zoloft. So she's just really heavy with this. And she went through the Prayer of Freedom. There's a little worksheet in the back that you go through that makes it work. Sample prayers that you use to nullify these spiritual torments that go on in our lives. She says she woke up the next day and completely free. She went to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist says, if you don't need the meds, stop taking them. That was 6 months ago. The other thing that happened was she noticed that when she got free, that both her daughters, the 1 and 3 year old, that were heavy inhaler users with their asthma, it all stopped. They could run around, jump, be fully active, no asthma issues, no more inhalers. Everything disappeared because what they'd been diagnosed as a medical disease and a mental issue was nothing but a spiritual issue that when you handle it spiritually, it all disappeared. And that's one of many testimonies and stories I could tell you.
Okay, so I know you have many, and if you read the book, you'll see the stories. Okay, so my question is, so I read the book, I did the worksheet, I had a lot of things that I've forgotten about, sins that I wrote down, a lot of people to forgive and all that stuff. I did that, and I was doing the prayer. Now, how do we know, because this is personal to me, okay. Like I have knee pain and back pain. If it's not spiritual, it's not going to clear up, right?
Correct. So I'll give you a perfect example. Right. I mean, so here's what happens. And yeah, the, so it, it's like, it, so It's like a doctor. Watch this. A doctor says, you go to the doctor and says, doctor, I've got this problem. He asks you a question and says, well, I think it's this. Let's try this therapy. And if it works, then that was the right diagnosis. So you try the therapy. It doesn't work. Okay, it's not that. Let's try something else. And that's how you know if your issue is a spiritual root issue or not. I remember working years back, I was out someplace, Walmart. Someone had tennis elbow. So I got in through the process and the tennis elbow disappeared. No more pain. Come back home. My wife has tennis elbow. Got her through the process. Still got tennis elbow. So one was a spiritual root manifesting as tennis elbow. The other one was truly tennis elbow. So that's how you know whether it's spiritual or not, is you just try it and see what happens.
Okay. Now, another question. You can pray for your family. How far out? Like, I was doing nieces, nephews. I just figured I'll just throw them all in case it can help, right? You know, with the list of infirmities. How far out can you pray for someone else?
Yeah, so let me give some backstory to our audience to help this.
Yeah, right.
But without the context, you know, some our listeners and viewers are going to be going, now, what's going on? This sounds a little wacky.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, so let me catch everyone up to speed where you already have passed, right?
You've gone through this process. And can you tell us, you know, how you got into, like, can you go back a little? I'm sorry. Now my head is clear. Can you go back a little as to how this started and what you were doing before this?
Yeah, so let me give you the short backstory on me and what's going on with the prayer of freedom. So I was born into a family of seven generations of medical doctors going back almost 200 years. I married my sweetheart from college years. Her dad was also a medical doctor, and he's passed away now, but about 20 years ago. But he had been practicing medicine as a general practitioner and internist for 50 years. So medical is very big in my family. And he clarifies and shares really succinctly, here's what the medical healthcare system used to be. That healthcare is tied to three things. It's your mental, physical, and spiritual. And so my father-in-law would sit you down, you have a problem, and he would talk to you, and he's analyzing mental, physical, and spiritual to identify what is the source of the problem. Once he thinks he has it, then he would guide you in it, and he was pretty darn accurate, because when you look at all three pillars, the three stools of healthcare, it always consistently works. But over the years, last 20 or 30 years or so, it seems like the medical community, healthcare community, has become atheistic, and they remove the spiritual leg. So now they're even only looking at us as either mental or physical. And physical includes chemicals, drugs, and medicines, and chemical imbalances and things like that. And because of that, we're being misdiagnosed. We're diagnosing the symptoms, right? You know, like that lady had asthma. She had bipolar disorder. She had anxiety and depression. But it was misdiagnosed that it wasn't a mental issue. It wasn't a chemical imbalance. And it definitely wasn't physical. It was spiritual. And so we're being misdiagnosed with the third leg of the stool that's been removed. And as I came along, rather than going into business, I went into business. Rather than going into medicine, I went into business. It's like everything stopped at my generation with all of our families from a medicine side. And then about 10 years ago, God called me into the healing side, the healthcare side. And unbeknownst to me, he started to send me down the path of spiritual on the health. And what happened, the honest story.
Can you explain how that happened, or is that what you were about to say?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
No, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, because he put this urge in my heart to go pray for people for healing. And so after 6 months, I got up the nerve to start praying for my first set of people. This was October 2016. And I went to a gas station, went to a grocery store, went to Walmart, and looked for people that looked like they were in pain. And I prayed for 18 people, and a third of them were instantly healed. One lady, she was riding the scooter at Walmart. She had degenerative discs in her neck, degenerative disc in her lower back. She had arthritis and lupus. And it was so bad, she had a medical assistant walking with her, sort of like a nurse assistant, to take things off the shelf because she was physically unable to do it. And so I said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes." So I just said, basically, "Be healed in God's name," right? And the whole thing lasted maybe 20 seconds or less. And I said, "Well, how do you feel?" She goes, "I don't feel any pain." "Really?" "I did something you couldn't do." So she gets out, she touches her toes, she moves her head all around. She was explaining that she had this nurse assistant because she couldn't lift her head up because of their degenerative disc. And she's totally without pain. So I didn't believe her.
This was your first prayer.
Yeah, this is on the first day, one of the 18.
Wow.
And six
you
of them
like
were
shocked? Were you like,
yeah, I didn't believe that she was in pain. So I literally had to ask, I asked the nurse assistant, "How long have you been working with her?" She said, two years. I said, "Is this normal?" She said, "No, I've never seen her do this before." You know, it's like that type of stuff. The thing that impressed my dad the most, because I told my dad this and he said, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Then another guy, he'd been racked in pain, lost his job 3 years ago. He's been on opioids, pain reliever, painkillers for all that because the pain was so bad. And all of his pain disappeared. My dad was not terribly impressed. "That's pretty cool." And then I said, and I came up with this, to this other lady. She had on a white blouse and a black compression sleeve on her arm, her right arm. And she said it was RSD. And so I prayed for her and all the pain disappeared. And I said, "What is RSD? My dad said, "RSD is a neurological disease. It's extremely painful. It's incurable." And he said, "If that left, that's a miracle." I mean, that's the thing that impressed my dad was RSD. But then, so I didn't understand what was going on. I went to my church. This is the funny part of my story. I went to my church. It's a mega church, legalistic church here in my town. And I went to my senior pastor and I said, "God is healing people through me." He said, "Well, you know, Satan can heal too." So I didn't like that. So I went to my next senior pastor. He gave me the same answer. "Well, you know, Satan can heal too." So I figured I was in the wrong church. So I'm no longer there. But what started to happen is I didn't understand this. So I started to go into the ancient Bible text to understand the spiritual laws behind healing. And I recognized something supernatural was going on. Within a year, I was seeing 90% of the people I was praying for being instantly healed. Glaucoma, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, all kinds of sciatica, all kinds of back pain, knee pain, migraines, anxiety, depression, hernias, all kinds of things. Just I would walk. I found the spot at Walmart, this one Walmart that had a lot of low-income people that just had a lot of ongoing health challenges. And it seemed like God just loved them because almost everyone I prayed for, he healed. During this time, I also went into some other wacky stuff. I'm not sure if we want to get too far into it, but it's up to you.
Sure.
Casting out demons,
interrogating.
Okay, so if we're going to get really real, about the same time God sent me into what's called deliverance, which is casting out of demonic spirits from people. And what the ancient Bible text says, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, people of flesh and blood like you and me, but against persons without bodies. So in the spiritual realm, you have these there are a lot of different types of spirits, but one category of spirits is what you would call a demonic spirit. And a demonic spirit is a person without a body. So if you think about you and me in a very simple sense, watch this, Hilliard. We're a soul and we're in a body. And the soul is who we are. It's our mind, will, emotions, our personality. And then we're just operating in this body. And that's why when our body dies, we continue to live in the soul realm. And so a demon, in a very simplistic sense, not accurate, but simplistic, is like a soul, an evil soul with no body. And what it wants to do is it wants to inhabit a person. And then it lives out its evil intentions through that person. That's what a demon is. So if you...
Where do they start? Did they start as a person or they're...
I have no idea. It's one of those things that...
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'll have to ask God next time. Yeah,
sure.
There are a lot of theories. I try to stay away from theories and only stay focused on what I'm able to prove and experience in as real. So I don't know that answer. But my first,
it's a soul without a body, and it'll come into somebody.
It comes into somebody for a very specific reason, almost. Right.
Like
yeah. Yeah. So what it does, and if you want to understand it better, there's a great movie. You can get it on Prime, and it's called Nefarious. It's it guides you through the life of this one man, and it helps you really understand the dark side of the demonic of a demonic issue. And I don't want to make this about all demonic, because it's very few people have this issue. But this is part of the learning curve that God gave me. Okay,
I can see again. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You probably don't have a demon.
I was like, get out.
Yeah, I don't have a demon either. But God used it. I call it my training wheels to understand how the spiritual realm works in terms of sickness and healing. And the way that I would conduct a deliverance is I would ask God to bring up the first demon that's in this person that needed to be addressed. So, like, I remember doing this with a guy named Josh who was 32 years old, and his life was just torn up. Everything fell apart. And the first demon spirit that came up, he speaks to Josh's mind, and Josh is now relaying what he's hearing. So I'm having a conversation with the demon through Josh. And I said, "What is your name?" And Josh says, "I hear the name Seth." I said, "Seth, is that you?" Yeah, I mean, it's a real name, a real person. And he says, "Yes." I said, "What is your role?" I mean, now I'm interrogating this other person within Seth. I mean, within Josh. He said, "My role is the gatekeeper." So if you think about, like, you're Jewish, so you're familiar with, you have the city of Jerusalem and King David, right? And there's a gate in those times. And the gatekeeper is the one that shuts the gate to keep the enemy out and opens the gate to let traffic back and forth. It's a low-level spirit with a high importance. But in the demonic realm, the gatekeeper is the one that opens the spiritual gates to a person and invites other evil spirits into them.
Ooh.
And I watched this. I said, "What is your legal right to be there?" And this is important in understanding this whole process of the spiritual solution to diagnosed health issues. Okay. And the legal right is what gives that evil spirit the authority to attack that person. And it's an authority that this God of the universe has given permission for whatever reason. And the legal right, when I asked Seth, Seth said, "Josh played with a Ouija board at 7 years old." And Josh said, "I did not. I didn't want anything to do with that." He knew exactly what that time frame was. He said, "My sister was playing with a Ouija board, and she communicated to me through it." So watch this. So Josh was watching that Ouija thing move around and communicate. And simply because he was participating, the Ouija board is part of the occult, which is a sin against God. And just by watching it move and participating, you see what it said, that opened the door for Seth, this evil spirit, to come in. That was the beginning of the downfall of his life. And that was 25 years ago. So I then went back to Josh and said, "Josh, repent," which repent is a Greek word that means to think again. So the idea here is you thought it was okay,
like,
to do it.
Repent is like pulse in France. So it's rethink. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's you thought it was okay, and now you think again and realize that it's not okay. Okay. So that's the word repent. And so I led Josh to say, "God, I repent of playing with a Ouija board." Then I go back to Seth, reinterrogate, and say, "Seth, do you have any other legal right to remain?" And now Seth says, "No." So Seth, you have to leave. And Seth leaves. And so in deliverance, what I started to find out is every legal right that a tormenting spirit had to be in someone was always an unrepented sin, something we do against God's standard of right and wrong. And as soon as that spirit left, all of the torment that that particular spirit was bringing completely disappeared. Whether it was pain, whether it was a sickness in the body, whether it was anxiety or depression or despair, when the spirit left, it left. And then as I continue to pray for people at Walmart and they were being instantly healed, deaf ears open, you know, blinded eyes, glaucoma and macular degeneration disappeared. I started to realize it was nothing more than a spirit.
Can I?
Yeah.
So Josh plays with a Ouija board. Seth goes in, and then his life. So why did his life start going downhill? What was Seth just giving him bad judgment, or what was he?
Yeah. So what happens is in the spiritual realm, easy way to understand it is there's a passage in the ancient Bible text that says, when you submit yourself to sin, you become the slave of sin. And when you submit yourself to God, you become the slave of God. Slave in meaning that you're now serving that right. entity as a master, okay? So watch this. The way it works is there's a spirit that almost everything, not all, you have a spirit of skill, a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace. You have a spirit of fear, a spirit of anger, a spirit of lying. You have good spirits, bad spirits, okay? And easy way to understand a spirit, not a demon, but just a spirit, is that it's almost like an amplifier. If you have a spirit of peace, it amplifies peace in your life. If you have a spirit of fear, it amplifies fear in your life, okay? But you have to let that spirit in. So what Seth would do, this demonic spirit, is he might take a spirit of fear, let's say, or let me give you an actual one. There was one named Marcus, and this was a spirit of despair. And so what despair does is despair makes you despair that your life isn't as good as someone else. You look at someone else's life and you start to covet what they have. And that covetousness, being Jewish, you know that you shall not covet, right? That's his Ten Commandment number 10. And so that's against God's law, that you covet what someone else has. And so when you covet, you now give in to that spirit of covetousness that's trying to get you to covet. And once you do, now he comes in and amplifies covetousness. And now it makes you very despaired in life. If you have, here's how simple this is.
Don't we all have this stuff? I have a lot of the negative ones, like
worry. We all have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have it. The difference is, if we put this in a healthcare term, I have lots of bacteria and little diseases that don't affect me because I have a good immune system. But if my immune system is depressed, I'm going to get really sick by the things that don't bother me today. What happens is we all have anger, fear, depression, anxiety looming within our being because we come in things that we always get a little afraid, a little anxious, a little depressed on. But when we give in to it one time and we just kind of become really depressed, then it will open the door spiritually for a spirit, an amplifier of depression. And what he does is comes in and takes that little bit of depression we have and amplifies it really big. And now we become really depressed. Addiction is this way. Okay. I was speaking, I volunteer teach at an addiction recovery center. And just yesterday I was speaking with this lady. She has been addicted to cigarettes since she was early child, like 10 or 11 years old. And she's changed from cigarettes to vaping for the last couple of years. She was in my class 2 weeks ago, got a little vapor there. And I was teaching in that class session that you always go back to when something began. That's usually the open door. And you nullify that open door there, and it gets rid of the problem. So watch this. She's been addicted to smoking for probably 20 years, somewhere in that time frame. She can't stop. She wants to stop, but she has to keep doing. The urge is so powerful, she can't resist it. Then she hears me teach on that. She thinks back, when did I first start smoking? I was about 10 or 11 years old. This person gave me some cigarettes. So she turned that off, cut that legal right out of the way. And now she woke up the next morning without any desire to vape. It's been over 2 weeks. She's totally off of vaping, out of cigarette smoking, because what it was an amplifier that came in and amplified the urge. You got to smoke. You got to smoke. You got to smoke. You get the amplifier off. And now there's no longer urge that you can't resist anymore. It's gone. So that's how these spirits work. There are three types of spirits that I found. One is that demonic spirit, a person without a body, and his whole role is to sabotage your life. Very few people have that. Okay. But if you played in the occult, you definitely have it. So if you've done anything.
What does that mean, played in the occult?
Ouija board, witchcraft, you know, satanic stuff, anything like that. Okay. A lot of people know it as kind of the dark arts of anything. That's, you'll always open a door there. But then there's some other things that, we
like
think are just
tarot cards and stuff. That was one of the things, tarot cards.
Yeah. That can definitely open the door. Astrology. I think so. There are some things I'm not as clear on, but what I've learned to do is, when in doubt, repent anyway, right? Because it doesn't hurt to repent, and it might be the secret to getting free. So you have the demon spirits, which are the worst, and most people don't have those. Most people have the other two spirits. One is these amplifiers. So what they do is they take the single thing that you have and amplify it. So if I blow up at someone and get really angry, then it's going to open a door for a spirit of anger to come in and keep me angry all the time. And now I blow up at the least little thing, and I don't know why. Even to the people I loved, I just blow up at you. Stop that, right? I said, I just put your glass by your counter. You know, why did I get upset? I don't know, but it amplifies and keeps me angry all the time. The other type of spirit is an infirmity spirit. An infirmity spirit is usually when we break one of God's standards, and now our issue is just a chronic pain or a chronic sickness. So this could be things like allergies, like asthma, COPD, sleep apnea, neuropathy, rheumatoid arthritis, things like that. They bother us, but they're not destructive, other than they can kill us, but they just really take away our quality of life. The other things that we do, like the amplifiers, not only bother us, but they bother other people. They destroy relationships. So those are the two categories that I see. Was this interesting so far?
Yeah. I think so.
Good. So for my listeners,
Before you got the call, you were just a business guy. You didn't go into medicine. You were not doing any of this stuff.
Right. All this just came.
You get a message,
boom,
to go pray. You start going to Walmart. You start healing people.
Yes. And then God took it all away.
What do you mean?
3 years ago, I'm out praying for people. 90% of the people I pray for instantly healed. I go back 2 weeks later, because I was going about every 2 weeks. And I pray for people and nothing.
Were they showing up for you knowing you were going to come?
Oh, no. I just walk up to people at Walmart. Hey, I'm out praying for people. Okay. You need prayer for anything? You know, do you have any pain or sickness you want God to get rid of? Right? It's just very simple. And they say yes or no. So I would just, I call it my hit and run approach. You know, just walk up.
Did anyone think you were like weird, go away from me, or no?
Mm-hmm. No, they would just say, no, thanks. And I'd say, okay, cool. And I'd just move on. Yeah, no big deal. So God took it away, right? Yeah. So it was what I was doing during I call it my Walmart years, was a supernatural gift of healing. I would simply pray and God would heal. But he showed me that what it was just a spirit that left. And when the spirit left, all of the symptom of the problem disappeared as well. So it was really clear that it was training. And then when he took it away, I asked God, what just happened? He said, I took your gift of healing away. I said, why? He said, because now I want you to learn to do it by authority. And I understood what he meant by authority. Authority is to break the legal right of the spirit that's driving the issue. Keep in mind, I was already breaking legal rights with the deliverance, right?
Right.
The repentance. So now I changed my tactic. I go up to people at Walmart. I'm out praying for people. Is there anything I can pray for you on? If they had an issue they wanted healed of, rather than me praying, I guided them into a short prayer of, I repent of this and this and this and this and this. It was just kind of a blanket prayer. I led everyone into this couple minutes of repentance of these different things. And then the issue disappeared. And I saw more things. Like I remember one of the earlier ones, my wife and I were going into Walmart and we saw this homeless couple there. So we stopped and prayed for them outside. And there's a young couple. And they said that they were just gotten a government apartment. And we said, well, do you have anything to move in with? No, we don't have anything. Well, come on in. Let's buy you some bed linens and some utensils and stuff just to help get you set up. So while there, I picked up a book about the size of my Prayer Freedom book on spiritual growth. And we're walking down the aisle and I'm teasing the man, Brandon. I said, you're going to have to steal that book from Lanita if you're going to get any chance to read it. And Lanita says, no, he reads all my books to me because I can't read. And I thought, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, have you never learned to read? She says, no, I know how to read, but I can't see to read. Everything's blurry. So she couldn't read the title of the book. I opened up the book and she had to pull it about 3 or 4 inches from her eyes to slowly read it, just like that. And I said, well, God doesn't want you to have bad eyesight. He wants you to have perfect eyesight. Can I pray for you? She said, yes. And God prompted me to ask about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is one of the big open doors on this. So I said, do you have unforgiveness for anyone? She said, yes. I said, who is it? She said, it's my ex-boyfriend. He grabbed me by the back of the hair and slammed my face over and over and over again into the edge of the dresser and busted out all my teeth. And she grinned at me and she had no teeth, top or bottom, in the front of her mouth. So this is high abuse, high trauma, right? And I said, would you be willing to forgive him? She said, yes. So I just let her watch this. I said, just repeat after me. Dear God, I forgive Bill for what he did to me. That was it. And then I said, God, now would you please heal her eyesight? I said, what's going on? She said, I can see everything clearly. Really? I said, I opened up the book. I held it about 3 or 4 feet from her and said, can you read this? And she started reading it perfectly clear with perfect eyesight. So what started happening is I started to lead people into repenting of their own issues rather than me with a supernatural gift, but nullifying those things in their lives that were these open doors. I started to see God do more things that I'd ever seen him do before. As I started to teach at the Addiction Recovery Center, it's one of the largest recovery centers in America. It houses over 500 women. I'm one of the few men who are allowed to teach there. And I teach them how to get free. I use my book as the textbook. And literally all I do is every girl that comes into my class, I give them my book. In the back of the book is a worksheet with about 18 different categories of where we may have unrepented sins. So they fill in the blank as the Lord brings to their mind the things that they've done over their lives. They're not religious. A lot of these women have never gone to any sort of religious situation. They've been on the streets for years. They've had deep trauma. Many of them have been prostituted. Many of them have been abused. They've been abandoned. They've been beaten. They've had every type of issue you can imagine in their lives. And what I'm finding is about 87% of those women, when they go through this all the way, they see everything in their life disappear, from addictions to mental illness to chronic pain. And can I just read one story? This is a thank you note. This is
Yeah, yep. We're going to go to mark that page. We'll be right back after our word from our sponsor. I don't want to stop because this is so good, but we'll be right back. Okay.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Hey, it's Hillary from the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Life can be messy, raw, and real. And sometimes we're afraid to feel vulnerable. We're afraid to be that real self. Well, that's exactly what the Getting Real with Hillary Show and Getting Real Movement is all about, being our true selves. Every week, I bring you stories of transformation, authenticity, and hope. People getting real with their struggles, their faith, and their breakthroughs. So don't miss a thing. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter today. You'll get stories, links to everything new, and how to create a life you love every week directly to your inbox. You can also find my books on Amazon. My courageous and riveting memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast, in case you feel stuck in your life and want to get inspired. How I Came Out About My No Sex Life and My Marriage, in my second book, Real Talk. That one will get you speaking up in ways you've been too afraid to do so, and really creating amazing freedom. And my third book, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun, the name is called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. Find links to everything and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Getting Real with Hillary, and you'll find the links in the header. So visit, and you can also visit gettingrealwithhillary.com, because the real you is worth it and wants to come out. And thank you, as always, to all of our sponsors. We have Kikori, we have Jerry Dale, we have Ed Hajum, we have my books, and soon to have Beatty as one of the sponsors that you'll see his banner going through. I'm going to cut my spiel short so we can bring him back. But thank you to all of our sponsors who make this show possible. And welcome. We're going to hear a love letter now, right? A love letter?
Yes.
A love letter. Okay.
This is a love letter, a thank you letter. So we're talking about my work at this addiction recovery center and how roughly right at 87% of the women are getting completely free of their issues going through this step-by-step process for freedom. And this is a lady named Catherine. I just want to read this to you because this is the typical result of people that go through this. And I want you to hear two things: how bad her life was and all the issues she had, and now what happens after simply going through this process and treating it as a spiritual issue. She said, "I want to thank you for the prayer of freedom. It has changed my life. Growing up, my relationship with my mom was really tough. She was abusive, and she and my stepdad would drink and get into lots of fights. By the time I was in seventh grade, she said she didn't want anything to do with me and left. That's when life began spiraling downward. By 16 years old, I was having sex with lots of boys and started getting into drugs. That was just over 10 years ago. Before doing this approach, I was addicted to heroin and fentanyl and meth. I had a lot of worry and stress and anxiety. On a scale of 1 to 10, they were probably an 8. I've had constant allergies and sinus headaches for years, migraines 5 out of 7 days a week, and a super heavy feeling like I was carrying around an overweight backpack every day. Life has really been difficult. But the prayer of freedom and repenting changed everything. Literally everything is gone. No more sinus issues, all gone. No more headaches and migraines, all gone. No more heaviness, it's all gone. No more anxiety or stress or worries. Literally, on a scale of 1 to 10, they've all gone to 0. Even my addictions have gone to 0. I don't want drugs anymore. I have no urges for them anymore. And even the thought of any drug disgusts me. It's all gone." Isn't that amazing?
Really,
everything the doctors had diagnosed as medical,
yeah,
as mental and chemical imbalance, completely gone, because it wasn't medical, chemical, or mental. It was spiritual.
Wow.
And when you handle it spiritually, it all leaves. And it leaves pretty much instantaneously, relatively speaking.
Now, do you think when your, I don't know if it was your father or your grandfather or your father-in-law who treated spiritually way back then, do you think that they knew this stuff?
Not this deep, but what they knew is they knew things like if you had unforgiveness towards someone or you're really bitter, that that would cause physical issues. In fact, science has already proven that if you hold unforgiveness towards someone, it puts you in the fight or flight mode and it keeps you in that mode. And because of that, you increase cortisol production, you increase another adrenaline production. It causes you to shut down some body systems. So like your leukemia, your leukocytes, your white blood cell count gets depressed, which opens you up to chronic disease because now your immune system is down. It increases your desire for high carbs and sugar. So you have the energy to fight or run. So because of that, you start to put on visceral fat. That's your belly fat. And now you run into the risk of organ failure and diabetes. When you stay in this mode,
unforgiveness.
This is just the medical of what they've been able to see in the body was simply unforgiveness. Wow. It also blocks your production of serotonin and dopamine, which are the feel-good hormones. So now you're always depressed. So he understood those type of things from a medical perspective and would help someone. Well, you need to really stop your bitterness, you know, forgive this person because it's doing these things to you. But he didn't understand the spiritual roots of how it worked. He just understood that the spiritual aspects do have a physical cause, physical effect. But I've taken it to a much deeper level than he ever understood.
So you, in effect, are in the medical field. Through your,
I'm in the healthcare field. Healthcare.
Okay. Without medical school. Wow. Because you're here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm so.
This is a. What happened to the. You did. You can heal 87%. What about those 13?
Yeah. So let me make some good definitions.
Okay.
I don't heal anything.
Okay, you don't heal.
God is the one that takes away the torment that manifests. Watch this. This is a good way to understand it. You can only be healed of a disease according to the medical community.
Okay.
And so I want to make the clear distinction that this isn't healing disease. But if I have a symptom, like I've got a cough, so I go to the doctor, he says, you have a cough. I go, boy, that's brilliant, right?
Okay.
I know I have a cough. That's the symptom. What's the problem? Well, it could be pneumonia, could be allergy, could be common cold. So what's happening is the medical community is taking the symptom and assigning it a name, and that name may be wrong. Like right outdoor, I've got my son has an old Acura little tiny sports car. If I put a Ferrari body on that Acura, then you and other people would misdiagnose and say, that's a Ferrari because I know what a Ferrari looks like and that's a Ferrari. But if you open up the hood, you'll go, oops, nope, not a Ferrari. It's masquerading. It's an Acura masquerading as a Ferrari. It looks like a Ferrari on the outside, but it's actually accurate on the inside. This is what's happening in the medical community a lot of times. These spiritual torments are masquerading as neuropathy or as rheumatoid arthritis or anxiety or depression. But it's not rheumatoid arthritis. It's not anxiety and it's not depression. It's a spiritual torment that's masquerading as that. So when you get the spiritual torment out, the symptoms disappear. It feels like you're being healed of those things, but what's actually happening is you never had that disease to begin with. You had a spiritual torment that was just masquerading. So that's the kind of the clarification with it.
So for the 13%, was it not so spiritual?
Two things.
Yeah.
There are two things that happened with that. For that 13%, it's either spiritual that they didn't identify the root of the problem, or it was purely physical. Like I remember I was at Walmart one time and I was praying for someone with tennis elbow and all the tennis elbow pain instantly left. So the prayer of freedom only works on those things that have a spiritual root. But a lot of times the spiritual root looks like it has a physical cause. Like I was on the show recently, and this guy was in the Canadian Football League 20 some odd years ago. He had a micro fracture in his knee and has been in pain ever since. On the show, I'm talking to him, and the pain level is a 7. So you can go back and say it occurred in football. It was a physical action, and this is a physical issue. But it should have healed by now. The fact that it hasn't healed tells me it's a spiritual issue. So on the show, I guided him through this process, and all of the pain disappears. I mean, he gets up, walks around, he's going, that pain is gone. He was so surprised. It's absolutely gone. And he was blown away, but it was a spiritual issue that kept the pain there, even though it was a physical beginning of the pain. So you see that a lot of times where the diagnosis was originally accurate, you have a microfracture, but the pain has a source of the spiritual side instead.
So if something's not healing like it should,
it
was
almost
a physical
always.
Cause, but it could be a spiritual thing that it hasn't gone away.
Here's almost an absolute certain way to know if it's spiritual. If the doctor says, I don't know what's going on, it should have been healed by now. Mm-hmm. Or they say, I have no idea what's happening. I can't find any problem with you. Or they call it a syndrome or disorder. PTSD, spiritual, every single time. They call it a syndrome, spiritual, every time.
Wow.
And then almost all the other things that they do. Anything that's
autoimmunes, are those?
I would say some are. So like rheumatoid arthritis is described as an autoimmune issue. And yet I've seen rheumatoid arthritis disappear quickly just by handling this. I remember one lady, watch this. This is interesting. She asked me to pray with her because she had rheumatoid arthritis, and that day it was flaring up. I said, how long have you had it? She said, about 15 or 20 years. So I asked her, do you have unforgiveness in anyone? She said, yes. And I said, who is it? She says, my sister. She did something to my mom about 20 years ago. So watch this. Rheumatoid arthritis for about 20 years. Unforgiveness for the sister, about 20 years. So she forgave her sister, and the rheumatoid arthritis pain was gone within an hour. And not only that, she went back to the doctor 4 weeks later. He retested her, and there was no arthritis in her body. And so what the doctors had diagnosed as an autoimmune disease issue, rheumatoid arthritis, wasn't rheumatoid arthritis at all. It was a spiritual torment manifesting as rheumatoid arthritis and fooling the doctors because it looked just like rheumatoid arthritis and all the tests showed it was. But because it disappeared with unforgiveness, it was a spiritual torment and wasn't an autoimmune disease.
Wow.
That's what I'm finding a lot of times.
All right. I have a question. You might not like.
I love any question.
Okay. So when you work with these people and you do it in one sentence or two sentences and it's gone, and then the book, which I've been doing, it takes a long time. You know, I mean, well, the checklist takes a while, and I get that. But then the prayers are long, you know.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
So in the gift of healing. Okay. Yeah. So the difference is stages. The gift of healing, it's all supernatural. I had no idea how it worked. I just said, be healed, and it was done. When I lost that, then what started happening is I would take a surgical approach. Now, by the way, the surgical approach is what I call the three-step prayer process. And it's great for demonstration, and it's great in certain situations that makes it permanent. But there are other things that it's not permanent. But a lot of times, someone has a lot of things happening in their life, and they don't even realize that they have these other issues. They got this one thing that keeps bothering them, but all these other issues they have, they think it's just normal. Until they go through this process and they go, wow, I no longer do that. I no longer have that urge. That stopped. My relationship with my child is now good. All these things that they thought were just normal issues of life were actually spiritual torments. So what the prayer of freedom does in that worksheet that you're talking about is it's a holistic approach to completely getting rid of every spiritual torment that you possibly have. Okay, and it takes a little bit more time because these torments fall into different categories. Some fall into simply something that you did against God. Another category falls into something that you did against man. So being Jewish, you'll recognize this. The old Jewish law, there are two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And everything falls under those two things. So when we disobey God, when we do something against God, we get one type of torment. When we do something against man, we get a different type of torment. Then you also have into the dark arts, the occult type stuff. There's other things, I'll call them by what they are. They're witchcraft and they're curses and they're very real. So now we have to handle those type of things. And then there's also the issues
Are those because somehow you're opening yourself up to this dark side?
At times. So the way it works is like there's a secret society called the Freemasons. And the women's version is Eastern Star. And they have these secrecy oaths. And when God created man, you'll see this in Genesis, he gave man dominion over the earth. Okay. So there's man was made in God's image, and in God's image, God spoke things into existence. So there is a creation power in the spiritual realm with the spoken word. And in these secret societies, some of this secrecy oaths say things like this. I commit, I will keep these oaths secret. And if I do not, you can gouge my eyes out, slit my throat, open up my chest, and pull out my beating heart, and I commit this down to my descendants as well. Oh. So what I'm doing is I'm verbalizing harm against me and my descendants. So unbeknownst to them, they think it's just words, but in the spiritual realm, it actually gives these tormenting spirits a legal right to fulfill what you've committed to. It's just like signing a contract. I'm signing this contract. So unbeknownst to us, there are things coming down that maybe my grandfather or great-grandfather was in Freemasonry, or my great-grandmother was in Eastern Star, and they took a secrecy oath that they didn't understand the implication of it. And now there's this pattern. You'll see the patterns coming down generationally. There's all kinds of sickness. There's all kinds of early death. There's all kinds of cancer, a pattern. Anytime you see a pattern, there's something driving it. And so the reason these prayers for the process in the prayer of freedom is so thorough is because it's handling everything that I'm aware of that causes issues in our lives today. It's not just the things we did, but it's the things that maybe our ancestors did. Do you remember the story right up front? I think I shared of Ashlyn, this lady who had been raped at 6 and 7. Did I tell that story to you? Okay. So what happened with her children? Watch this. At 1 and 3 years old, they were taking inhalers for heavy asthma, more inhalers than the doctor was prescribing because it was that bad. When she went through and repented of her sins that she made on this list, their asthma instantly disappeared because it was a spiritual torment coming down to her children. This is what God says in Exodus. He says, I will forgive sin, transgression, and iniquity, but I will not leave the guilty unpunished. And I'll visit the iniquities of the fathers, meaning fathers and mothers. I'll visit the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. But then he says, if it's an abomination, which is a really bad thing against God, he said, I'll visit that permanently. And you see this coming down the line, generation after generation after generation after
What's
generation.
What's an abomination? What would that be?
Murder. Witchcraft, things, homosexuality, things like that. Those things that are what's called, are really taking God's standards and just totally wrenching it around and perverting it.
Wow. Whew.
So there's a lot of things in the spiritual side that we don't understand and they're impacting our lives, but we have the ability.
We have like 2 minutes, so.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to wrap up.
Great. So let's wrap up.
Let me interrupt you because it's so fascinating. But
yeah, it is. So wrapping up, let me share for our audience. Okay. If you've been struggling with anything and you've been trying to get rid of it, there is still hope, because more than likely there's a spiritual root. If you have a loved one, a sibling, a parent, a spouse or partner, or a child or a grandchild that's struggling with things, there's hope, because there's likely a spiritual root. And the cool thing about handling these spiritual things is you can do it as a loved one on behalf of others. This is what Hillary was talking about at the beginning of the show. You can nullify these things that you are aware of on behalf of someone else and start to free them and free relationship conflicts and cause peace and calm in a relationship, sickness and disease, all kinds of things that are being diagnosed that way, and get rid of those spiritual torments on behalf of people. So check out the book. You'll see at the top, theprayerfreedombook.com. That's the best place to go. It has a link directly to the right spot on Amazon to get the book, so you make sure you get the right book and not the wrong one.
And can they contact you if they have questions? How would that be possible?
Absolutely. So I have a website, BeattyCarmichael.com. It's all about me, and there's a contact page, and you can communicate to me through that if you have any issues.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for dedicating your life to helping people. It's so interesting. And so
it's fascinating.
Don't forget to grab the book, The Prayer of Freedom, from Amazon, and the website, theprayerfreedombook.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.